We're doing the book of Koheles. We're up to what's called the fifth chapter, the 12th Pasuk. And again, we'll read the Pasukim with the traditional tune. Koheles says, Yesh ra'a chola ra'iti tachat ha-shamesh. King Solomon says, I've seen a terrible ill under the sun. Osher shamur liv alav lera'ato. Wealth that's saved for the owner of the wealth, and it's really to his detriment. People think, there was a t-shirt when I was a kid that said, God, test me with wealth and let me prove to you it'll be good for me. That's what people think. But Shlomo HaMelech says, there's this terrible ill I've seen under the sun that... Sometimes people have wealth that's really to their detriment. The Targum translates the Pasuk, there is an ill that has no cure. When a person hoards wealth and doesn't do any good with it, at the end of his days, that wealth will hurt him. Because when he comes to the world to come, they will have great claims on him. They'll say, we gave you such potential to affect the world. You could have done such great things with your wealth. That's how the Targum explains that if a person has a great wealth and he hoards it, he doesn't use it to better society, so then in the world to come, all that wealth is a claim against him. It's all potential. You could have done so much good with it. We had a student here whose grandfather was a multi-millionaire. And his grandfather decided he has to do something right with his wealth. So he took the wealth and he went to a hospital and had them research prostate cancer. He said, I'm giving you all the funds you need. You guys have to develop the cure for prostate cancer. And they did. They did. It was his funding that led to the discovery. Today, it's a rarity that people die of prostate cancer. And it's all thanks to him. He said, I have all this wealth. I have to do something right with it. So... when one is given the gift of wealth, one is given the responsibility of wealth. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, a more simple interpretation, is there is this terrible ill, says King Solomon. It's painful to see how people have wealth and it's to their detriment. Where sometimes, because a person has all this wealth, people are jealous of him, people are envious of him, the government comes after him. All that wealth, all it does is bring him trouble. So although wealth it has potential, there are many times where all the wealth does for a person is hurt him. There was a guy who once told me, he says, I hoarded the wealth, I have this mansion, my kids are doing drugs, the other ones are in prison. What did all this wealth get me? That I could walk into the house and say, hello, and hear an echo. Hello, hello, hello. What did I get from it? Yesh ra'a chola. Shlomo HaMelech says, this is a very painful thing to see. Because here you have something that could be the source of so much blessing, and yet it ends up being so hurtful to a person. Ve'avad ha'osherahu. Binyan ra. Shlomo HaMelech says, and then... the person loses all that wealth. Something bad happens to him because of all the wealth. Ve'olid bein vein biyado me'uma. And then he has a son, and the son has nothing. Where the father might have been able to leave him something, instead, all the wealth did was hurt the father, and the son has nothing to show for it. People sometimes say, at least my kids will enjoy it. No. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. This is one of the painful ills I see in this world. Kasher yatsa mi beten imo arum, arum yashov lalechet kesheba. Just as he was born naked, so too a person will end up returning naked. That's the idea of you ain't taking it with you. And there's... he's got nothing to show. He has nothing to show for all that wealth. He spent his life gathering the wealth, and what's he got to show for it? What did he accomplish with it? So, that's very interesting. I was once moving. And the final day I was in that neighborhood was a Friday. And it was a long summer Friday. And I finished clearing out the apartment. And then I went to the bank. And I took out all the savings I had in that bank. And I figured I'm going to take all this money and deposit it in another bank. And I'm driving to my parents for Shabbos. And my thoughts are I'm never coming back to this city again. I get stuck in traffic. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Terrible accident, terrible traffic jam. It's getting close to Shabbos. Those were already the days when he had cell phones. So I'm sitting in traffic, and I see that I'm not going to make it to my parents in time to shower and get ready for shul. And the more I look at the watch, and the more I realize I'm barely making it to shul. So I call my parents, and I say, look, the way the traffic's looking, I'm going to make it just in time for shul. I'm not going to come home. Don't be worried. I have what I need at home. I'm going to leave the car in the shul parking lot. And then I'll go straight to shul, daven. And after Shabbos, I'll bring my stuff home. This way, at least, I'll be on time for shul. Fine. I parked the car. Now I got my keys. What am I going to do with all the money? So I figure out I'm going to hide it under the seat. I wrap it up. I put it in a way that I think no one can see. Put it under the seat. Go into shul. Find a place to hide the car keys. And I'm even early, like 2 minutes early for mincha. But fine, daven. And I keep telling myself all of Shabbos, don't look at the car. Don't go back to the parking lot and check what's happening. You focus on your Shabbos. Fine. I'm a good boy. Comes Matzei Shabbos. After Avdallah, I go pick up the keys. And I go to the car. Doesn't look like the car was broken into. Everything seems fine, but then again, my keys weren't shul. I open the car, I reach under the seat, and the money's gone. So I stand up there in shock. Like, this really hurt. Like, someone followed, saw where I put the keys, took the money, left the car. It wasn't like an expensive car. And I'm standing there, and I'm remembering how when I left the bank, some beggar came to me and asked me, and I said, I didn't have time. I was rushing for Shabbos. And I said to myself, look, any money I would have given him, well, that money would I'd still have, right? I would have done something with. And now, I don't have, like, and I remember getting into the car feeling guilty. I said, I have to rush for Shabbos. I don't know what's waiting for me traffic-wise, and I was right. But then I said to myself, you know, you had all this money in your pocket, and you didn't bother taking out a dollar and giving him. And the truth was, I was scared. If I take out a dollar, he'd see the other money, and you never know. This is Manhattan at the end of the day. Okay, so I had good excuses. But I remember standing there next to the car thinking to myself, you thought you were saving the money. And in fact, whatever you would have given, that's the money that would have been saved. That's at least you would have something to show for it. Now you got nothing. So I'm standing there in shock, and I said, okay. What can I do? What can I do now? Like calling the police, do fingerprints? It's one more thing I could do now. Go back under the seat and see if maybe I missed it. And there it was. It was deeper under the seat. It had fallen there. And it was there. At the end of the story was the money was there. But those few minutes where I was standing next to the car in shock, it was like an eye-opener to me. When we were thinking about tzedakah, we're always thinking, I'm giving. No, you're taking. You're not giving. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech says here. A person can sometimes find himself at the end of the day so naked he's got nothing to show for all the work. And this too is a terrible ill. The first ill he was describing was that the wealth hurts the owner. The second ill he's going to describe is that at the end the guy's got nothing to show for it. Kolumat sheba ken yelech, that at the end of the day he walks away the same way he came. Umayitron lo sheyamo laruach, and then what does he have to show for all the work? He's got nothing to show for it. Just the other day, a guy told me he was working the market for 5 years. He said, I took my savings, I put it in the market, I made, I lost, I made, I lost, I made, I lost, and now I'm square even. So I said, that sounds pretty good. He said, it's not good at all. You know how many hours I invested in the market? So here I made $10,000. There I lost $10,000. Now I'm square even. And now I keep asking myself, should I invest more time? I'm back where I was 5 years ago, only I've invested all these hours. all this time. Shlomo HaMelech says this is a terrible ill. A person has worked so hard, and what does he have to show for it? He's at the same place he started. Gam kol yamav b'choshech yochel. All day, he was so worried. He never had time to eat like a normal human being. He'd come home late at night, sit down for his meals when the kids were already in bed. Throughout his life, he'd come home late, working like a dog, to eat in the dark. V'cha'as harbeh v'chol yoho v'katzef. And he's upset because he's working so hard and he has the business to deal with. And when you get angry, so people get ill. And all of this, he's invested his health, his life, his best hours in what? And then he has nothing to show for it. Hinei asher ha'iti ani. Shlomo HaMelech says, what I understand is, Tov asher yafeh lechol velishtot. You know what's a good idea? You should eat and drink. What does your supper look like? Do you eat a normal breakfast with your kids? Do you ever come home and have a lunch with your wife? Do you ever take off an evening and sit down and have a normal supper? A person, what's nice is Shlomo HaMelech. People keep waiting for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. No, and Shlomo HaMelech is the third time he's reiterating this idea. What's good is eat and drink. You know what it means to eat? There's a fantastic doctor named Dr. Carno. He was the doctor at West Point, and then he became an alternative medicine doctor. What's it called? Homeopathic doctor. So when I was a teenager, I had all kinds of issues with my digestion. So my mother took me to him, and after checking me out, he says, look, I'm going to tell you what your cure is. I didn't listen. I was still a youngster. He said, you want to know how you'll feel better? When it comes time to eating lunch, how do you eat lunch? I said, I have a sefer and I eat. And how do you eat supper? I said, I have a different sefer and I eat. And breakfast, well, that's the same thing. So he said, you want to be better? Put away all the svarim. Sit down for 5 minutes and think about what you're eating. Focus on the food. Eat slowly, enjoy, and you'll see that you'll feel better. So, being the youngster that I was, I stopped, I thought about it, I said, no. And I kept going my old ways, and kept suffering, and said, I'm still alive to tell the tale. Years later, I came across, I think it's a Ramban, that says the same idea. I think it's the Ramban that writes somewhere that if you stop and think about the food you're eating as you're eating it, it is more satiating. And it's commentary on the tractate Psachim that say it. There's a discussion in Tractate Psachim about how the poor man tries to get his meal in before the sun sets because if he only sees what he eats, it's more satiating. So then I said, oh boy, Dr. Carno knew what he was talking about. He didn't know the Talmud, but the Talmud does say that. And Shlomo HaMelech says, eat and drink doesn't mean to gobble it down and not think about what you're doing. No, it's good for a person to eat and drink. V'lirot tova b'chol amalo she'yamol tachat ha'shemesh. See to it that all your work produces some good. Do some kindness with your work. Now, don't wait for the future. You're working hard. Do something with it. It's like the people who like watching their stocks go up and up and up, and they never sell. So they never see a profit. Yeah, you made a profit, pull it out, that's when you have a profit. You have money, do something good with it. That's when you have a profit from the money. It's the same idea. I told you guys, I had an investment in the stock market, it tripled itself. I told you, right? I invested, what was it, $3,000, $4,000? No, $2,000. I invested $2,000, it became $6,000. But I never pulled out. So then when it crashed and it became $300 or whatever it was, that's it. I didn't see any of that profit. It was all on the books. Nothing. Come on. Oh, yeah, I had to pay taxes. Right, that I did have to do. Even though I had a loss. The same is true when we have the money. Says Shlomo HaMelech, make a profit with that money. Do something good with the money. Money is about doing something with it. So Shlomo HaMelech says, eat, drink, and see some good with all your work. Mispar yemei chayav asher natan lo ha'elohim ki hu chelko. Throughout the days of your life, because that is really your portion. God gave you a gift with wealth, So then you have to do something with it. And here, maybe we should apply an idea. There's a book. I forgot the name of the book. Okay. Not a Jewish book, but he writes over there, one of the big problems people have with the stock market is, let's say they buy a stock at 100 and they sell it at 1,000. So they made $900 profit. Not bad. They made 900% on their money. So you'd think a person would be happy. But then he sees the stock go up to 10,000. So he kicks himself. He says, I could have made another $9,000. I could have made 90 times on my money. He says, that's a wrong perspective. You have to look, what did you make? You made, that's yours. Had you stayed in, you might have made more, you might have lost more, you don't know. But yet, you have to look at what you made. You didn't lose anything because you could have made more. We often think, I could have made more, so I lost. No, you didn't lose. What you made, you did make. The fact that you might have made more, that doesn't mean you didn't make. The same is true with mitzvos. A person has wealth. Make something with it. You gave a dollar to charity, that's yours. Finished. You did a mitzvah, that's yours. The fact that later on in life I might be bigger, I might have more, maybe I could do more, that's great. But whatever you have is yours. Whatever mitzvahs you accomplish, that's yours for the taking. Again, people are always waiting for the big kill. It's not about the big kill. Get in. Whatever you got in, you got in. There are so many examples of that. Someone once asked me, what chesed could you do in yeshiva? What do you mean, what chesed could you do in yeshiva? When you wake up in the morning, the way you treat your roommate, you bring a sefer, you bring another one for the next guy, you wash your hands, you fill up the cup for the next guy, you ask your roommate how you doing, you ask your chavrusa how you doing. There are so many little opportunities within a marriage. You don't have to wait for the anniversary to come up with this huge gift and, wow, I'm going to win her over. No, you're not. You want to win her over, give her a little note tomorrow morning. Give her another note the next morning. Buy her a little piece of chocolate. Get her 15 chocolates in a month. Don't get her one huge chocolate l'chvod Rosh Chodesh. That's not it. The small wins become big wins. There's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says there was a guy who was a big-time politician, and the king called him in. The king was super upset at him, and the king said to him, I want you to know I'm seething at you, and I'm contemplating killing you, and you will have a court case by me in 1 month's time, and you could bring whatever friends you want to plead on your behalf, but in 1 month's time, we will decide your fate. And with that, the king sends him off. So he comes back home and he's panicked and he's not sure what to do. And he starts calling all his friends and he tells them, I'm in such trouble, you got to come with me. The king says, I could bring whoever I want to plead on my behalf. And all the politicians all promise him, we're with you, we'll be there on that day, we'll talk on your behalf. And then there's this one guy who lives not far from him. And he never really thought too much of their relationship. He also tells that guy, he tells him, look, I got to go before the king. Maybe you could also come. The guy says, yeah, give me the date. He writes it down in his itinerary, writes it down in his plan book, and the date comes. So the guy rides up to the king's palace. 30% of his buddies don't show up. The other 70%, they reach the gate. Suddenly they have a pending appointment. They see all the guards. They see the gallows ready. They see the king is seething. So of the 70%, 50% say, look, I'm really sorry. They're scared for their own life. They don't want to get on the king's wrong side. 50% disappear. Now he's walking up there. He's got a few more friends. And this guy, he's come along. This guy, this neighbor, who he never thought too much of their relationship, he's walking along with him. And as they approach, they start hearing the drumming and they hear the announcer proclaim, this one has been executed for death today. This one has been executed for death today. This one has been executed for death. Next on the roll call. They start slipping away. By the time he reaches his court case, it's him and the guy who he never thought was his buddy. The court case begins and it's looking really bad and the king is getting red in the face and he's standing there and he tries to plead his case this way, that way. Nothing he says seems to budge the king. And they pause for deliberation. And as they're pausing, his neighbor lifts his hand and says, Your Majesty, can I say something before you deliberate? So the king says, yeah, that's what you're here for. Talk. So the man says, well, look, I want to tell you, this guy and I, we're not the best of friends, but I have a little bit I can say about him. And then he starts saying, you know, when he walks down the street, he's a nice guy. He's decent to his friends. And he starts mentioning a bunch of simple little acts that the guy is very decent about. And he says, look, you want to kill him. You have your issue with him. But you have to realize how many good things this guy does on a regular basis. Little good things. And you really want to remove a guy like that from the world? He wins the king over. Chazal say, what's the Medrash like? The Medrash is, when we think about going to the world to come, we have all kinds of ideas what we're going to take with us, what we hope to accomplish in this world. We have all kinds of dreams. And then when we actually hit the judgment day, suddenly all those dreams remain dreams. It's like all those politicians who promised him they'd come with him. The closer we approach the grave, the more those things fall by the wayside. And then judgment day actually comes. And we have to walk into judgment day. And we look to our left and we look to our right. And all those dreams, well, they didn't materialize. We had hoped to accomplish so many mitzvos, and yet we didn't. And we're wondering, who's going to speak on our behalf on this judgment day? Suddenly, a little voice pipes up. It's that shekel we put into the charity box before Shachris. It's that 10 agurot you put in before Mincha. 30 agurot you put in before Ma'ariv. All these little acts of kindness that we do, all that little charity you gave, suddenly it amasses. Think about it. We don't think about it every day. We put in a little here, a little there, and suddenly we have thousands and tens of thousands of mitzvos that we never thought about. It's the guy we stopped to say hello to in the morning. It's the guy we smiled to as he was at the checkout counter. We did little acts of kindness. The little things, suddenly they come and they speak on our behalf. When judgment day comes, we think, I'll accomplish huge things. And maybe not. And maybe, like that little guy who no one ever thought too much about. You never thought you had such a strong relationship with him. We approach some of the most important mitzvos that way. Who thinks about that shekel he puts in the charity box? You give it a second thought, you give it, and you keep walking in life. You don't walk around thinking, look at me, hey, look what I did. But at the end of the days, when a person's going to have to come to judgment, all those little things add up and they come by him. So Shlomo HaMelech says, make sure to grab on to things. Take things that you can take now. Don't end up going back to the grave as naked as you came to the world. Whatever you were given, that's your portion to do with. Pasuk Yud Chet. Gam kol adam asher natan lo ha'elohim osher unchasim v'ishlito lechol mimenu v'laseit et chelko v'lismoach ba'amalo. Whenever you see people, says Shlomo HaMelech, you see people who have wealth, who have assets, who God has given them the self-control to enjoy the wealth they were given. That also takes self-control, not to be miserly. V'laseit et chelko, and then they carry their portion when they're going to go to the grave. They have to realize, Zo matat Elohim hi. That's also a gift from above. It's a gift from above that one is granted the intellect to do that. So many people have the potential to do it and they miss it. And even if we won't all be that great philanthropist who made all that money, we all have that aspect in our life where we're waiting to accomplish big, and we should really be looking at how we can accomplish now. The big accomplishments, whenever they come, they'll come. But whatever accomplishments we could do now, let's grab and hold on to them now. And Shlomo HaMelech concludes and says, Ki lo harbe yizkor et yemei chayav. A person should think about his life and realize that it's not that long. I don't remember which of our grandparents, either one of mine or my wife's grandparents, once sat down and told us and said, you know, 90 years passed like a flash. You think it's a long time. Before you know it, you're 90. You look back and you say, where'd all the years go? So Shlomo HaMelech says, Lo harbe yizko, you should remember that yemei chayav, the days of one's life, are lo harbe, they're not so long. Ki Elohim mane besimchat lipo. So a person should be quick and enjoy his wealth now, do kindness with his wealth now, be happy with his wealth now. We can't look to the future for happiness. We have to find the happiness in the moment. Because who knows? When Hashem is running the world, who knows if the happiness will continue? And Hashem, who knows what's going on in our hearts, will look and ultimately judge us over this question too. Did we do things with happiness? So, Shlomo HaMelech is stressing many important points. The point of enjoying one's wealth when one can, the point of accomplishing with one's wealth at every stage of the game, and the point of doing it all with happiness. And they all revolve around the same idea, which can be summed up in Latin with carpe diem. Seize the day. You're given a gift, use it. Use it wisely, but use it. People very often, I remember I did this once. I had a very nice white sweater. So I said to myself, when am I going to use it? I use it when the kids can get it all dirty. When the kids are all around, they can't do that. So I'll wait for a time when I could use it that the kids won't get it all dirty. Well, I never got to use it. The moths got it before I did. Now it's covered with holes. What am I going to do? We have things like that in life where we think, I'll use it. Yeah, our finest china is waiting for what? For the time when the kids won't be around and we won't be able to use it either. So this idea, obviously it needs balanced application, but it's an idea that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us to implement today. Today, we have certain wealth, we have certain capacity to do good. This is the idea we expanded on in the Chafetz Chaim, where the Chafetz Chaim says everyone has capacity to do chesed. You might have an extra pair of shoes you could lend out. You might have an extra jacket you can lend out. We all have something we could do kindness with. Maybe it's our time. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Seize the opportunities and the wealth you have now. And the final point, which is probably at least as important, if not more important than everything else, Shlomo HaMelech says to do it with happiness. There's potential for happiness. Do it with happiness. And here again, we can invoke what the Medrash says. Okay. I rather quote you the Medrash inside. The Med... She'ein hasimcha mamtinet la'adam. This medrash appears in the Medrash Rabbah, in the Medrash Tanhuma. It appears in many places. And the medrash says, you want to know who was the happiest person? Elisheva bas Aminadav should have been the happiest person. Her brother is appointed prince. He's Nasi. Nachshon ben Aminadav. Her husband, Kohen Gadol. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, right? Elisheva married Aaron. Her brother-in-law is chief rabbi. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. That's her brother-in-law. Her two sons, they're the first priests. So who should have been the happiest on Rosh Chodesh Nisan with the inauguration of the Mishkan? Elisheva bas Aminadav. She was the woman who connected all the dots, who had the pride of seeing her husband, her children, her brother-in-law, her brother. Everyone's a success that day. So she, Elisheva, should have been the happiest. Who was the saddest person on that day? Elisheva bas Aminadav. Buried her two sons. Nadav and Avihu both were killed, both died on that day. So the Medrash goes through... Correct? They took Eish Zara.
I thought that was later.
No, on inauguration day. So the Medrash says, Lilamed. The Medrash gives us examples throughout Jewish history about how happiness doesn't wait for a person. She'ein hasimcha mamtinet la'adam. Should we see it from the Medrash Tanhuma? We'll see it in the Medrash Tanhuma. Medrash Tanhuma in Parsha Shmini. It says it was the eighth day. The eighth day of the Miluim was Rosh Chodesh. This is what King David says in Psalms, Amalti lo lelim al taholu. I said to all you people who are so happy, what you happy for? Why? Because who should be happy about tomorrow? You don't know what tomorrow is bringing. You should know that the people who are happy today have no guarantee they'll be happy tomorrow. And people who are upset today have no guarantee they'll be upset tomorrow. Remember, The rule that the Medrash teaches us is she'ein hasimcha mamtenet la'adam. Happiness does not remain static. It's not waiting for you. If you don't grab it today, it's not necessarily going to be there for you tomorrow. You want to see it? I'll prove it to you, says the Medrash. God. Starting point is God. God created the world. So happy. This is what God wanted, right? Nothing standing in His way. He created a world. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, the verse says in Psalms. Hashem was happy with His creation. It says Hashem finished creating the world. Ve'yar Elokim et kol asher asav v'inei tov meod. God looked over the world, so to speak, and said, wow, really good. So, He commands Adam one small mitzvah. What do I expect of you? Live up to it. And where does God end that day? He tells him, you piece of dirt. You were dirt when I created you, and you're going to end up as dirt all over again. As though, so to speak, even God's great day, culmination of creation, ends up without the happiness it began. Next, says the Medrash, if God isn't happy, so to speak, God's happiness doesn't last, so humanity's happiness, how much more so? Look at Avram, how happy he was. He killed the kings that came up against him. He was famous and made God known throughout the world. God gave him a son at age 100. He circumcised him. He raised the child. And what does God tell him? Take the child, offer him. Boom. Here you see the Medrash assumes that wasn't a happy day for Avram. He goes 3 days' journey. On the third day, God tells him, okay, I don't want to slaughter the animal. Comes back home. His wife's dead. He needs to bury her. Can't find a place to bury her. He finally finds the right place. They charge him an arm and a leg and they cheat him on the price. And then he becomes too old for life. And that's why it says Avram Avinu suddenly became an old man. Boom. Avram was so righteous. And that's what his life looked like. Happiness just didn't last for him. How much more so other people? Yitzchak, look at how happy he was. God saved him from being killed. God saved him from the fire. God saved him from the people of Gerar who wanted to cheat him. God allowed him to become famous and make Hashem known in the world. Avimelech comes to him. Even the kings are at his feet. Seems like life's good. No, doesn't last. What does Yitzchak end up? He ends up being blind. He ends up having daughters-in-law that are doing idol worship within his own home. Look at Yitzchak. He's considered God's pious, pure lamb. And this is what his life ended up with. How much more so the wicked? That's why King David says, what you all rejoicing about? Yaakov is called God's firstborn son, the chosen one. B'ni Bechori Yisrael, he was so happy. He sees a vision, he sees a ladder, he sees a future. He sees angels, he gets a promise from God. You're going to make it back home. He goes to Lavan, and he's running from Esav. He becomes a servant for 11, 20 years. Okay, seems like that story ended well. He's wealthy, he has children, he comes home in peace. Boom, Esav comes over. Seems like that story ended in peace. Boom, his daughter gets raped. His wife, his favorite wife, Rachel, dies, fights among the kids. His son disappears. Yaakov the Tzaddik ends his life with such sorrow. Hashem says about Yaakov, Yisrael asher becha et pa'ar. I take pride in you, Yaakov. And what does his life look like? Where does his happiness end up with? Happiness doesn't last.
He had a bad life. I think they say he didn't end well, didn't he? At least in Mitzrayim, he had a little peace at the end.
Yeshua was so happy. He defeated 31 kings, conquered all of the land of Israel, divided it. All of Israel supported him. He was the great king. They said, anyone who goes against you will kill. What unity! He got what Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get his whole life. Moshe never had such backing like Yehoshua did. You think everything's great? No. He ends up dying, leaving no sons behind. He had a tragic life, a tragic ending. Amarti lo lelim al taholu. So, Eli, the high priest, he was king, head of the court, high priest. He had it all. Top leader of the Jewish people. He's the leader. Doesn't last. His two sons get killed on the same day. He sees the ark being captured. He ends a tragic death. If that's how the righteous end, what do the wicked have to hope for? Again, the Medrash concludes with Elisheva. There was no one in the world who had as many happiness, as many sources of happiness as Elisheva bat Aminadav. That day, her husband becomes the high priest. Her husband is a prophet of Israel on that day. Moshe, her brother-in-law, is king and prophet. Her sons are priests. Her brother is the head of the great tribe of Judea. And it doesn't last. Her two sons die that day. There was once a top leader in Babylon that was marrying off his son. He made a great meal for the rabbis. He told his son, go up and bring us this barrel of wine from the attic so that we could celebrate with that. He goes up to the attic and gets bitten by a snake among the barrels and dies. His father's waiting and waiting, and the kid doesn't come down. His father says, let me go see what's happening with the boy. He goes up and sees the boy lying dead among the barrels of wine. What does he do? He doesn't say a word. He lets all the guests eat and drink. And when they finish the meal and they want to make Sheva Brachos, he says, you guys came here to make Sheva Brachos. Come, make the blessing of the morning on me. You came here to bring my son into the chuppah. You're here really to help me bring my son to burial. And that's where our sages said this whole speech about how happiness doesn't last. This whole speech is a speech that was given there. The boy who was supposed to have this whole crowd with him for his wedding, instead, the whole crowd came to bury him. So the first time we learned this medrash here, guys were about to walk out of class. The guy said, what a depression in this thing, medrash. Life, what does the medrash tell you? That life never ends up happy? Exact opposite. The medrash is telling us what Shlomo HaMelech said here. You can't count on tomorrow being happy. No one has a guarantee about tomorrow. When you have happiness today, seize it. That's the message of Shlomo here. So Shlomo says, seize the mitzvos, enjoy the wealth you're given, enjoy the blessings you're given, but the key point, do it all with happiness. That's the final point where Shlomo says, simcha belibo, you got to do it with happiness, lismach b'amalo, be happy as you're working.